Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Vanderbilt Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics David Williams is stepping down from those positions. He announced that yesterday and joins us now. David, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Congrats on a great run as Vice Chancellor and AD at Vandy. Why is now the right time for you to step down?
Well, actually, for me, my thought was it was going to be June 30th of 2018, last June. That was the end of the contract I had. And so about this time last year, I think that when you get to that point, you want to make sure that you give the people a chance to do a good search to get your replacement. So when I talked to the chancellor last year, he asked, could I agree to stay around past that time for up to a year? And so I agreed to do that.
Okay.
And so I've agreed that I would stay no later than June 30th, 2019. But, you know, if they get somebody before then, certainly I want to give that person the opportunity. So it became the time. I think that the other part of it is I've been a senior administrator in higher ed for 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to let somebody else have these wonderful opportunities.
When you look back at your career as Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics, how do you hope to be remembered in those roles?
Oh, I don't think it's important that anybody needs to remember me. I think the fact of the matter is I hope that what I've been able to do is help set a platform for us to move forward here. But at the same time, I've been pleased and privileged to be a part of these student athletes' life, so I'd hope that in each of their lives there's something that they can take from that. But I mean, the fact that 5 years from now you don't even need to know who was sitting here as long as we're doing well.
Having said that, when the new athletics director is in place, do you want to be a resource for that person?
If they need it and they want it, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get in the way at all, because you know, I'll be down teaching at the law school, so I'll be around. So that's really whatever they need and whatever can help them in this university, I'm happy to do. And if it's best for me to, just sit over there, I'll do that too.
David Williams joins us on 3HL. Mm-hmm.
David, what is the biggest piece of advice or the one thing that you would tell the new AD whenever that person is hired?
Yeah, I think that they have to understand Vanderbilt and understand Vanderbilt's position in all of this. I mean, there's a lot of things that you want to know that you can sort of pick up, maybe learn from others. But the Vanderbilt's a very special place, and people look at it, you know, differently. But I do think that Vanderbilt has its own rhythm. And so when people ask me about hiring coaches and things like that, I said the most important thing is the fit. So I think that they just have to understand Vanderbilt and what its priorities, what its values are, and how it deals with college athletics and academics.
David, what are the biggest challenge or challenges maybe that your replacement might face?
I think the challenges that one has in these jobs are sort of universal. I mean, we're facing a lot of different things in college athletics. A big challenge will be how would you as a college administrator and you as the head of athletics at Vanderbilt deal with what's going to come down the pipe as new sports betting. I think that's going to be huge. I think one of the things that is a challenge here is what is also a strength. I mean, one of the things that helps us with recruiting, for example, is we are in a great city, and we're in a city that has a lot of options. Well, there's another side of that, too, and that side is that the fans who have a choice to spend their entertainment dollar, if you like, have a choice. And, you know, we make a fair amount of money because we've sold much of our football and basketball games to TV. So you can see those on TV where you may not be able to see the Taylor Swift or the Beyonce concert on TV. So if a choice comes, you know, it adds to that. So I think dealing with that. And then I would say dealing with the fact that we overall are becoming in our major sports a fan base that is getting older, and we have not yet figured out how well we need to and can do with bringing new fans, new younger fans into our fan base. I would say those become some of the major challenges.
There's been stories written, and you know this, you get the paper, read the paper like anybody else. There have been stories written that maybe athletics didn't have access to certain donors or the ability maybe to ask certain people for money for projects that were for athletics as opposed to things that would advance campus housing or other initiatives on campus. I really haven't heard any of that addressed. I mean, would you say that that's accurate? Have you maybe been denied access to a donor who could really help you advance, say, Dudley Field or Memorial Gym to more modernize those structures?
No, the answer is no. I've never been denied, and none of my people here have been denied any access to any donor. I do want to say my view of it is, quite honestly, and people might disagree with this, I think that if there's a donor and the donor is trying to make a choice, quite honestly, I would rather that person, if they can only do one thing, I would rather them give to what I would consider to be our opportunity Vanderbilt at the university, where it allows people who can't afford to go to college, go to college. I mean, I love athletics, don't get me wrong. But if I got $1 and I only got $1 to give between those two, I just think that's of a higher level. But to answer your question directly, no. And in fact, I've talked to all sorts of donors, and we've had, I mean, you know, I've heard that too. And I mean, some of the people who they refer to have been people who have donated to us. So I don't know where that comes from, but no, I've never been told no. I've never even had to ask that. I have a freedom to go to anybody we want. I mean, we have structures of how we basically do fundraising.
Sure.
But no, there's nobody that has been put off limits, if that's what you mean. Absolutely not.
Do you feel like was it not a priority of you or of Chancellor Zepos or of a board of trustees? Because there's been a lot of talk about Dudley Field and not a major renovation. There have been other things done, but not a major renovation since 1981, while other universities have done structural work, major advancements to athletic football facilities since 2006. Was it just not a priority? Do you see maybe the next AD, if they come in and say, this is a huge priority for me, will that be allowed? Can that person go ahead and start down that road?
Well, you know, I can't speak for what will happen after me, but let me kind of talk to that issue.
Sure.
When I took over, I identified a lot of things that needed to be done as it relates to facilities here. And some of those go for different things. I think sometimes it's what you need to do to upgrade the program. Sometimes it's what you need to do to help with recruiting. Many times it's what you need to do to benefit your student athletes. And one of the things that I'm very, very in favor of is I think that I didn't want to be the head of an athletic department that basically dealt with a lot of debt. And I'll be very honest about it. When I took over, I still have debt that is part of my budget that came from the time before I took over. Remember, I've been doing this 15 years.
Sure.
So I'm still paying debt. And some of that was building facilities off of pledges that never were paid off. And so I don't want to impact the day-to-day operations by having heavy debt on it. And so I took the position of we would list out our facilities based on priority. And so to say that Dudley was not a priority is not right. To say where it fit in the priority list may not make some people happy. And so there were other things that were done. And, you know, I mean, I can, you know, we spent over $89 million on facilities. And some of them people see and some of them don't. But some of those went to building a brand new, renovated, enlarged training room. Well, that gets our student athletes back out on the field. That keeps them healthy. We did a lot to basically make those two golf teams competitive, national competitive by what we did at the golf course. I mean, you've seen our baseball stadium. There wasn't a stadium. There was no seats out there.
Sure.
And then if you come inside, you see we have the best inside for the players to come back. Dudley Field, in my opinion, has its time and its place. And hopefully, I mean, hopefully it will come to a point, and I would think that if the next AD or any AD gets a chance of it, I think it will be a function of those that came before. We set the stage by taking care of the other stuff. And so, you know, I know people want to see that, and I understand that, and I don't have a problem with it. But, no, it was a situation. Nobody basically said, no, you can't do Dudley. It was me basically saying, here's the priority for what we need to do. I'm not going basically take money from the university, and I'm not going to debt this place up. And one of the things I'm really proud of is I'll turn over a department to the next person that literally, other than that 15-year-old debt, there is no debt. And in fact, there is reserves in here. And we have done projects that have benefited the student athletes. And generally, we've done one project at a time. Now, we're getting ready to go into a campaign soon at some point in time where there may be the ability to do more. I mean, I've already signaled that my next ideal of a project was going to be Memorial Hall. So Memorial Hall is next to look at. So, you know, it's I think it's a time and place for everything. And, you know, you got to go by your own rhythm and your own feel for what you can do and the way you can do it. So I understand people wanted to see that. I get it. I apologize to people if they think that I didn't pick the right thing at the right time. But that's all on me. Don't put that on anybody but me.
If the next lady or the next man are offered the job and they say, hey, I want to call David Williams. I'm going to make a phone call to him before I say yes or no. And this person gets offered the job and they call you and they say, hey, David, how big of a priority is athletics for Vanderbilt University? I need to know before I take the job. What would you tell them?
I said, take the job. I mean, I think the fact of the matter is, I think any athletic department at any university has to be about making its own self a priority. You can't look for other people to say where you fit in the scheme of things. You create that. And the fact of the matter is, I think if you ask many of these student athletes who are here, they will say it's a very high priority because of the things they get to do. I say all along, this is the best job, as far as I'm concerned, in America because of who we are and what we are and what we stand for. Now, if all you want to do is win games and that's the only thing you're thinking about, well, maybe not. But when you talk about what you want to do for student athletes, when you talk about the reason why we think these kids come here to get an education, to get to study abroad, to do an internship, to do those things, there is no place better.
And they can do that and win games, right, David?
You damn betcha.
Hey, four national championships. Yeah. Hey, David, I read that you said yesterday, we need to understand where our lane is, conquer our lane, and make you come play in ours. What did you mean by that?
You know, it's sort of a situation that sometimes you see people or things trying to emulate others. And you don't have the necessary things to emulate those. And so if, for example, if I only have 7 people that play instruments, I'm not going to try to be a 100-person marching band. But I'm going to be a hell of a 7 people, and I'm going to be so good that you're going to want to do 7 people, and then you're going to try to come beat me. You see it all the time in sports. I mean, that's the thing that's so amazing of it is if the other team, you're playing basketball and they got a lot of height and are slow and play inside, you're going to stay out there and shoot that jumper. Make them come outside and then you're going to run past them. So mine is, let's be who we are. Know who you are. Know where your strengths are. You know, when I took over, I remember somebody saying it's hard to recruit student athletes here. And I'm like, why? And a coach once told me, he said, well, you got to understand when we're out on the road, people basically say, you don't want to go to Vanderbilt because they're going to make you go to class. Hey, flip it on them. You're coming to Vanderbilt to go to class. You don't want to go there because they don't care if you go to class. That's our lane. Now you come beat us in our lane.
I love it.
Good stuff, David.
You're going to be an educator. I love that. I respect that. You will be around, so we'll see you. We'll talk to you. I am curious, though. I've heard that you have a big trip scheduled. What do you look forward to doing after a new AD is named?
That's right.
Well, the first trip I'm making, I don't think we'll have an AD by then, but as I said, I realized on Sunday in talking to one of my grandchildren who's a senior football player in high school in Michigan that I've never seen one of his games. So a week from Friday, I'm going up to Okemos, Michigan to watch my grandson play football. Oh, so that's the first one. But the other one is in March, I'm going to Mardi Gras.
Oh.
David, I'll be there. We got to hang out. New Orleans.
Hey, you better not come back with.
Well, you're gonna come back with a bunch of beads.
I got some contacts there, so I'm gonna be partying in Mardi Gras. So
yeah. I've been twice, David. Look out, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm gonna behave myself, though. I'm gonna behave myself. You're not gonna get any stories back on me.
I love that you're inferring that I didn't. But hey, for everyone listening, David Williams has always said yes when we've asked him to come on the show, and for that we thank you. It's been great working with you, and we certainly appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all the good things you do for us and for our city, and anchor down.